All right, what's going on, Jesse here?
Dubs in the building.
How's it going, man? How you doing today?
Chilling.
Yes, it is. It is a warm day out for sure. All right. But yeah, so not a great week this week for wrestling, I feel like, or at least for WWE as far as that's concerned. Very slow paced week. Not any great matches coming out of anywhere.
Nah, it was pretty underwhelming. Both.
Definitely. It's just everyone was expecting some kind of answer back to the whole AEW thing over last weekend. The Double or Nothing pay-per-view that was last Saturday. We really didn't get a whole lot. We did get a little mention from Sami Zayn. I believe that was Monday night. Mm-hmm. But other than that, not a whole lot else. But we're kind of pressed for time this week. So we're just going to kind of go ahead and get into the results of Raw. Then we'll go through SmackDown. And then we'll do a little bit more talking if we got some time. So we're talking about May 27th Raw. Started off with Brock coming out. Kofi was in the ring. Seth was in the ring for a little bit. They had a little bit of a back and forth. And, well, I think Seth got really pissed off here because it looks like he walked away early and just was kind of done with Brock being a, you know, complete ass, really.
Yeah, just dancing in front of him and keep stalling, I guess, as far as, like, who he's going to cast the title on.
Yeah, which we find out later in the show that Brock wasn't even aware that he has an entire year to cash in with the Money in the Bank briefcase, which is, like, it's kind of comical. I was like, oh, he did know, but he's like been with the WWE for like over a decade now, essentially on and off, and you're telling me you don't understand how one of the biggest pay-per-views in the year, how its stipulation doesn't work when you're the winner. Like, you literally been cashed in on, and it wasn't the same night or a week or two after. Like, Seth cashed in on him at WrestleMania well after Money in the Bank.
I think since he's like, I don't know, maybe it's just like part of the script or whatever, but I mean, technically, he's never really been involved in the actual Money in the Bank match, so I don't know. From people that don't look at it like that, they might be like, oh, well, he's never been in it, maybe that's why, but nah, it's probably
good. Yeah, but no. So we got a little tease right there. But basically, Brock walks off. Seth had already walked off at this point. And then, of course, Dolph Ziggler comes out. And this is where, like, the first kind of really bad booking, I would say, comes in the night. Dolph comes out, attacks Kofi, cuts to commercial break after Xavier comes out to save him. And then we come back from commercial break. It looks like everything's all broken up and, New Day's walking back up through the ramp. Everything's okay. And then Dolph comes back through the crowd, up the ramp, and attacks them a second time after the commercial break.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense because I was like,
No. I'm going to attack you. I'm going to run away. And then I'm going to come back and attack you. Not even 5 minutes later. Horrible.
How long did that last?
They're doing my boy Dolph dirty.
Like, how long did that last? I was like 25 minutes.
Yeah. No, and also one of the biggest things about this week's Raw that was horrible was the fact that we got about basically an hour into the show before we ever got any wrestling. So after this whole little angle, some people are calling this match. I'm not calling it a match. I know Lance Noi, I believe I said that right. I might have said that wrong. But he's been wrestling on the independents. He is related to Roman Reigns, but him and Shane basically had a squash match where Shane and Drew just worked poor Lance over pretty stiffly, too. Like,
it didn't look that great. So I'm just like, that was just bad.
Yeah. Now, after Monday night was off the air and everything like that, I did do some reading and whatnot. And apparently, this is actually building towards a little like fundraiser thing that Lance is a part of. Can't remember which family member it is or if it's even a family member, but right now they're getting ready to host a like indie wrestling event, essentially, where most of the proceeds are going to go towards this person. I want to say it's cancer or something related. It's a very small article I raised, but the WWE is actually sending like one or two guys over to help Lance in like match stipulations kind of things. I want to say one of them was actually Samoa Joe. This is a proof thing. So basically, they put Lance on TV this week, not necessarily to just beat the crap out of him, which does work towards their horrible booking, but they're also trying to give him a little bit of, you know, free advertising, so to speak, for his little event.
Yeah.
Because he definitely got a surge in his social media activity after being on TV. Like, he's not the prettiest of the Samoan dynasty, but he got a little bit of a rub from, you know, being on Monday Night Raw, even though this segment was absolutely horrible. After that, we did, like I said, that's when Brock and Seth came back out, and Brock realized that he had an entire year to cash in, which is better. The whole them announcing that he was going to cash in this week, or announced at least who he was going to cash in on. Stupid. Everyone wants to see that come out of nowhere, essentially. Like, we want to be surprised by the cash in, which they've really failed on in the last 2 years.
I mean, wasn't it John Cena? He like announced like when he was gonna cash in his money in the bank. I forgot what year it was, but he was gonna cash on somebody. Like, he had told him, like, oh, I'm not gonna beat you while you're down, so I'm gonna wait till the pay-per-view and I'm gonna fight you like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But yeah,
it was
just terrible.
Yeah. But just horrible booking. Actually, come to find out, apparently, and this might have been due to the size of the signs, but there's a bunch of signs with saying, like, you know, Triple H, save us. Or I think the sign actually said save us, Triple H, on it, and there's another one for AEW and whatnot. Just conflicting reports about whether or not they were confiscated or, you know, just, oh, it's not, it's because it's an indie thing. It's the people behind them couldn't see. But they're very well aware that people are pissed about the booking at this point. So we'll be interested to see how they blame Baron Corbin for all this.
I know, right? Yeah, it was just terrible execution.
After that, we had the Iconics versus Becky Lynch and Nikki Cross again. It's good. Didn't they had a match last week, correct?
Yeah, I think it was like a six-man.
Yeah, it was a little impromptu thing where Alexa Bliss was not going to get in the ring, so Nikki got in the ring for her, right?
Yeah, because...
Or was the Iconics on commentary for that?
Who? Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. It's like, it's very rare to see them actually wrestle, and I don't think I actually have seen them in a minute. But anyways, nice little, you know, tag team back and forth. Nothing super great. It's like, they're always great on the mic. This new pairing of Becky Lynch and Nikki Cross is kind of interesting. I think maybe they're going to try to do the whole Becky Two Belts thing again by, you know, putting her over with a tag team partner. And I suppose if she was going to tag with anybody other than, like, one of the four horsewomen, Nikki Cross isn't horrible.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and, like, by doing this, I feel like maybe they could, you know, like, Nikki would get a little rub from hanging out with Becky, and eventually down the line when they tear apart this tag team, they, you know, maybe she would be a credible threat for, you know, the championship, a nice little heel psycho kind of thing going after her, you know?
Yeah, different challenges. They always need different challenges. Can't be the same people they fight all the time.
Yeah, and that, I believe, was actually the first real wrestling match of the night. Almost like an hour in, essentially.
Man, I bet, yeah.
After that, we had Cesaro versus Ricochet, which was probably the best match of the night. Both of these gentlemen are great. Just phenomenal athletes, flipping, slamming everything.
That, yeah, Ricochet definitely, if he didn't show himself great last week, he definitely was great this week. Yeah. Cesaro was just phenomenal himself. So.
And it's like, the only downside of this is, like, I like Ricochet getting a win over Cesaro, but it is 50-50 booking. So it's like, he lost last week, he wins this week. All right, so now they're going to have a rubber match next week, which is cool. I do want to see this pairing again. And somebody on Twitter had gone back through and actually pieced together, because these guys actually had a really good match about 10 years ago before either one of them were, in the WWE, obviously. And there's like two or three spots they actually replicated from that match. You remember that? It's kind of like that weird, he got on his shoulders and did like a Hurricane Rana / Frankensteiner to him standing, but after being like flipped around forward kind of deal.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was like, that's something they did years ago, and like the crowd popped for it. So it was kind of cool to see that, you know, them carry on from the indie stuff that they used to do.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. That was a great move. I didn't expect them to do that. I was like, oh, I never seen someone do that. I don't know, maybe old WCW, but that was a pretty nice move.
Yeah, but anyways, from the best match of the night on to a pretty crappy match in general. This, at first, I feel like they announced that it was just a fatal four-way, and then somewhere in like a graphic, it said it was a fatal four-way elimination match, but then the commentators never really put over whether or not it was one or the other, and then at one point, they were confused whether or not it was one or the other. And what is it? Corbin wins. It's like, don't want to see him versus Seth, but there was a lot of rumble in the last couple months from Dave Meltzer that Corbin sometime this year was going to be getting an opportunity at the Universal title. So looks like Uncle Dave was right.
Yeah, because they put on like on the WWE's Facebook page or Instagram page, they had like, what would you think if Corbin was WWE champ? And I was just like,
I think I'd unsubscribe from the WWE Network. This man needs a gimmick change, and he needs to stop doing what he's doing, and they need to stop booking him the way he's being booked. I mean, there's being a heel, and there's just being shit.
Well, the thing about, anyways, like how it was with the Miz.
It's true, but at the same time, they don't have the competition coming at them like they did back when the Miz's heel work was like not as great as it is now. And now we got a babyface Miz, so we're not even getting the best version of Miz at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyways, after that, I believe it was the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah.
Now, I was, like I said, when we do our little live stream and we're doing this stuff, I can't hear the commentary. And I did not go back and watch this week's Firefly Funhouse. But, I mean, it looked creepy, looked good. He did his little spider walk thing that he does every now and then. It'd been a while since we'd seen that creepy crap.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. He was just talking about, I guess, the fans need to lift him in and... he's talking about a little different things during the segment.
Yeah, replaying his buzzwords, his key catchphrases and whatnot, just to try to, you know, keep hyping for that eventual in-ring debut.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I'm not sure who he was still coming and feud with, but hopefully it's very soon. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then I believe it was the last match of Raw was Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins.
Yep.
And I thought this was a lackluster match. Both of these guys can wrestle far better than they did. I don't know if one of them's, you know, nursing an injury of some sort or not, but this was full of rest holds and just not very well paced. Very clunky. And there's several times where it looked like either one of them went to go try to, you know, do a move to the other, but the other one was trying to do something as well. So just kept butting horns, and it just kind of looked a little sloppy to me.
Yes. I don't know. Maybe they were tired from over the weekend. Maybe they were working some house shows or something.
Yeah, maybe like both of these guys, like I said, they're phenomenal athletes, but this week they definitely weren't showing it. It's like maybe Seth was still pissed from the whole opening segment and just the way they're writing things right now. I mean, I'd be pissed too to see my best friend, you know, rising up the way he is over in AEW with just a shock debut so far. Hasn't even had a match and already has the most buzz in the wrestling world surrounding him at the moment. That he did that little shoot interview podcast thing on Jericho's podcast, Talk is Jericho. And Jericho's already come out, and in the first 10 hours of it being out alone was already his most downloaded podcast ever. So he gets plenty of listens, plenty of plays across all platforms. And for that one in particular, when he is interviewed, you know, Steve Austin and some legends down the road and all that, like, there's a lot of buzz surrounding Moxley.
Moxley definitely, he meant to his posters. He was mad.
Yeah, 2 hours long and did not hold back. But he did do a good job of like not necessarily trashing any wrestlers, but more or less just trashing the creative process and the booking of everything so far. But anyways, that was pretty much Raw there in a nutshell. It was a pretty bad episode of Raw. Like I said, we didn't get an answer back for any of the AEW stuff. Nothing about the throne or anything like that. The only notable thing was that Sami Zayn during that little electric chair segment did, you know, ask a fan during that segment why he didn't ask him about AEW, and that was about it. Shane did do a spinning elbow that kind of looked like Judas effect. Well, at the same time, that's because Shane McMahon doesn't know how to actually, you know, work, so he doesn't hold back, so he just legit back elbowed the hell out of Lance. But I don't think that was necessarily a jab at Jericho, or more or less just like Shane trying to stay alive. But we'll go ahead and move into SmackDown. SmackDown was definitely a better show this week. It actually, 20 minutes in, actually had its first wrestling match, which was phenomenal to see on a wrestling show.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
It was Kofi versus KO. Now, like I said, everyone knows I'm a KO fanboy.
That's his guy.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's big, but guys got to, you know, stick together. Yeah. Plus, I love a powerbomb. Anyways, Kofi actually took the win here. It was a decent match, back and forth. This week, for whatever reason, Kevin went after his shoes again. And I don't know what they're trying to work towards here again.
Maybe he just likes his shoes for some reason. I don't know.
But it's like, it wasn't a great match, but it was an alright match. Still better than everything except for Ricochet versus Cesaro on Raw last week. But, you know, a little build up for, you know, their culmination. What is it? It looks like they're building towards another pay-per-view match between these two, but with the whole Super Showdown thing going on right now, there was some emphasis on, like, hey, why is Kofi doing this? He should be worrying about Dolph, not Kevin. But, like I said, they're still waiting for the payoff for that, but they still have to build towards this crappy pay-per-view on a Friday in another country that doesn't respect anybody.
Nope.
But anyways, like I said, KO loses this one. Kofi goes over. Not a bad thing. You want to see your champ be strong anyways. After that, we got a little weird segment. I thought we were actually going to get a match, which would have been great, because I don't remember the last time I've seen Heavy Machinery on television, let alone a Heavy Machinery match. But the tag champs came out, talked, you know, the little thing, and then eventually Heavy Machinery comes out and says they want a shot at the belts. And pretty much these two teams are like supposed to be polar opposites of each other. You know, Daniel Bryan, you know, Vegan. They want to save the planet together with Rowan. And well, then you have Heavy Machinery, which are 2-plus-size guys that obviously love fast food and industrialization.
Yep, you remember when it was during Easter, they was passing out like packets of meat or whatever.
Well, but it wasn't a bad little segment, but it didn't really do a whole lot for either one of them. I didn't want this. Basically, like, I would have been happier to get a little back and forth for like 10, 15 seconds and then get a match and go.
Yeah, I agree.
But after that, we had Carmella versus Mandy Rose, which was like kind of an intriguing match. It wasn't too bad, but they have some heat against each other, it looks like, from the whole Money in the Bank situation. Carmella calling Mandy Rose an unsafe worker on Twitter and then deleting said tweet, making it look like, you know, it was a shoot.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't too bad, because I guess I don't know, like, I guess as far as, like, that match and the other women's match on SmackDown, it was better than what they've done last few weeks.
Yeah, well, it's like, Carmella is looking a little bit better in the ring than she was last year, which is kind of nice to see her continue to grow. Some of those shots to Mandy looked a little stiff, but, you know, cool, it adds to the drama, adds to the story. Mm-hmm. Really, this whole match was really to hype the whole fact that Mandy Rose was in a magazine over the weekend, the Muscle and Fitness Hers edition or whatever.
Yeah, passing it out to bragging.
Yeah, and these girls are going to be feuding for a while, probably, because after SmackDown went off the air, Mandy Rose was a quick to share a picture from Instagram that had Corey Graves staring at her magazine article with big old googly eyes and, you know, tagged Carmella in it. It's like, hey, you should be watching out for Corey. It's like, oh, drama.
Yeah, plain drama.
Yeah, you know, but anyways, not a bad little back and forth. Mandy Rose won. I could kind of care less. I don't like the way they're pushing Mandy. It really looks like they're just like, hey, no, we haven't tried to push this blonde yet. Let's push this blonde.
Good.
But we'll see if she, you know, continues to tune it up.
Nation needs more like legit good matches for it to really get over.
Yeah, no. Maybe they'll keep building her up against random, you know, girls on the roster until, you know, finally they break up their little tag team of Fire Desire. I already know, everyone knows that Sonya can outperform Mandy in a heartbeat in the ring. So, but anyways, after this, we moved on to the Shane McMahon appreciation part of the night, which is when I tweeted out on Twitter that it was time to go and take the bathroom break, go take a nap, something like that. I'm done with Shane McMahon. Everything revolves around somebody's father, his father, and the Miz's father.
Yep.
And his little mid-card of evil. Like, I'd be happier with it, like I said last week, and I've been saying for the last few weeks, if they, like, name their stable, monetize it, you know, not having a loose collection of goons that Shane calls upon, you know, depending on which brand he's on. Also, stop having him on both brands.
Yeah, nobody wants to see Shane that much.
Yeah, we want to watch wrestlers wrestle, not the boss's son.
All of them wrestlers.
Yeah. Now, the funniest little thing about this whole, you know, thing with them in the ring, and it was Shane, Drew, and Elias in the ring, that the 24/7 belt did come into play. R-Truth came running out and was getting chased. Got a little offense in against some of the guys chasing him, and it looked like he was safe until, you know, the mid-card of evil jumped him, and Elias got the belt. He is the fourth winner of the 24/7 title. I'm gonna do my best to remember who's won it in what order up until the point that it gets obnoxious.
But that is correct, though. He was the fourth.
Yes, but he did not hold on to that for too long, though. Yeah. So Elias, fourth holder of the belt. That is his first gold in WWE, though. That's his first title. Which is, I would be slightly insulted about if I was him.
Yeah, been in main roster for 2 years, and this is the first belt I get?
Yeah, exactly. After that little segment, though, we move into Bayley versus Lacey Evans with Charlotte on commentary, which wasn't a bad little match.
Yeah.
Said Lacey Evans is she's doing pretty good for, you know, being how green she is on the main roster. And, you know, I know we did see her for weeks and weeks on end, but she was only just walking out.
Uh-huh. but she did put up a good performance, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, eventually Bayley goes over, gets the win, like it should happen. You want to see, like you said, your champ strong. But, of course, I believe Charlotte did get involved a little bit or attempted to at one point. But Bayley laid her out, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, because Lacey Evans had the pin, but Charlotte was in the ring for too long, distracting the ref, and Bayley just reversed it, and Bayley got the victory.
Mm. Nice. But yeah, not a bad little match between them two. I want to see Bayley continue to dominate for a little while before they take this belt off her. I want to see her get a little bit darker, you know, a little bit more edgier with the fact that she's got to defend this belt.
Yeah.
I feel like the black that they added to her outfit this week, I don't think I've seen that one before. So it looks like her attire's changing, but that could just be me being non-observant because I'm a man.
I think anytime a champ wins, I think they just change up their gear just a little bit.
And then, of course, we move on to the main event of the night, which was a horrible booking decision, but it turned out kind of okay. We got a nice little feel-good moment out of it, but it was Roman Reigns and R-Truth versus Drew McIntyre and Elias. Established team of Drew McIntyre and Elias, that's fine. We know they're the mid-card of evil. But out of nowhere, they included Truth in this match, okay? Truth had already technically, you know, been laid out earlier in the evening. He is no part of the dad beef that is currently surrounding every angle that Shane is involved. So he shouldn't be on Shane's bad side, other than the fact that, you know, he ruined his little celebration, kind of.
Exactly.
But he didn't lay a hand on Shane. He didn't do anything, technically. So they just decided to pair these two together because of what they decided to do at the end of the match. And like I said, it wasn't a great wrestling match. We got a great little feel-good moment in the fact that eventually Roman Reigns pulled out his stereotypical spots, you know.
My guy.
Hit the Superman punch in the spear and did the nice man thing. After winning the match, while What's-His-Face was still laid out, he hit him with another Superman punch or another spear? One of the two, right?
He had another spear and...
Yeah.
All
up with
Truth to get the pin.
So. Yeah. So he let Truth pin Elias after the match because the 24/7 rule had been suspended during the match. So Elias couldn't get pinned and lose the belt in the same manner, which is stupid. You can't announce a rule for a belt, a title, and then have an authority figure, not even like a month later after it's introduced, being like, we're holding off on the main stipulation of this. He is that champ, but we're not going to pay attention to that rule.
Terrible.
Knowing full well that he wasn't going to be the champ by the end of the evening. Anyways, they could have just kept that in there without announcing it.
That is true. That is true.
So yeah, it's like WWE in its standard fashion right now, just bad booking, giving away things they don't got to give away.
Do you think they really cared what AEW did over Saturday? I don't think they did.
Definitely. They're trying to put off that whole thing where it's like, no, they're putting on a different product. We're sports entertainment. We make movies. We make moments. And they're pro wrestling over there. They're actually wrestling. We don't have wrestlers. We have entertainers. But you know, everyone in creative, all the wrestlers backstage watch that pay per view. So at some point, someone's saying something. You know, or, you know, somebody's probably, you know, pitching ideas during the creative meeting, being like, oh, we can't do that. AEW did it. Oh, so you did watch. But I don't know.
Great, Ross. I don't have great grades as a combined.
If I had to give Raw a grade, it's super easy. I'm going to give Raw 1 star. Yeah, the Firefly Funhouse, the Cesaro versus Ricochet, best parts of the evening. I wish I could give them both a star just for that, but the sheer amount of crap that filled up the rest of those 3 hours was horrible. So 1 star for Raw for me. SmackDown, I put it like right in the middle, like 2.5, almost 3 stars. Like I said, nothing that stood out that was great wrestling, no great storytelling, but at least they had wrestling for the majority of the show.
Yeah, I agree on that. Yeah. Raw, I don't know. I guess that'll be a little nice. I'll give them a 2. Ain't really much of a difference from 1 to 2. And then SmackDown,
Well, put it this way: it's like if I could give Raw 0 stars, I'd give it 0 stars. But that's fucked up. At least people showed up to work.
I know, right? I just feel bad for the people that just were in attendance and actually were watching.
Yeah, maybe at some point we'll solidify a nice little rating system that we'll use within our Russell Goons community. Make a graphic, something for it. We're on the middle of making some new stuff. Really, we're just trying to work in the weekly content that we do. We have a couple video ideas, and we're just kind of sorting out some production issues, essentially. But stay tuned. You know, we're going to keep growing, keep doing our thing, keep bringing you the wrestling news and our opinion on whether you want it or not.
I know, right? If you missed it, we're just recapping, make sure. You know, you catch up on your show. Just because, you know, if you were too hungover from AEW and stuff, you'd be like, oh, let me see what they're talking about. What happened on all of
Yep. Normally this podcast would have been out yesterday. We do try to shoot toward do this stuff on Wednesday, so, you know, the day after SmackDown. But we're doing this all on the side. We still have, you know, lives and jobs to get to, so we're working this in. But we appreciate anybody that sits in here, listens to us, tunes in, hangs out with us for a moment.
We appreciate you.
That's right. But that's been Raw and SmackDown for the week. I've been Jesse. And we will see you all Monday night.